Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'at Hotep, to everyone. Welcome to a special edition of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation, and also Happy Million Woman March Day. Today marks the 22-year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world of women anywhere ever. And not only that, but today is going to bring you some really powerful information. These past 2 weeks have been really powerful because we've been leading up to today. We had Million Women March Week. We're still commemorating, but again, we've been preparing. Now, this past Sunday, we had our first program that talked about and brought forth what we call our warrior queens and community queen, because MWM has now evolved into, again, the first global movement for women and girls of African descent, but we are now also what we call the MWM Federation, A Million Black Women Rising. We are the first of its kind to come to you from the grassroots through the glass ceiling, not just in your communities, but now worldwide. But before we tell you about that, we want to really begin to kind of dispel some misinformation. The Million Woman March originally took place on this day, 1997. It was for and about women and girls of African descent. So over the years, you've heard a lot of other things, and you've seen a lot of other things, but it wasn't the original Million Woman March. I am the originator. I am the founder and now the president general of the historic Million Woman March. There was no co-founder. There was no already existing committee or group until I formed it. And I have to say these things now, family, because there's so much misinformation out there. And because over the years, people have tried to really just sidetrack and weaken what it was that was started 22 years ago. Well, I'm here today to tell you that not only have we grown and developed, learned some serious lessons, by the way, I can also tell you this is how you can differentiate us from others. We are not the Women's March on Washington. We've never been mixed in or mixed up. We've never had a group of women to join us that was not claiming to be of African descent, and that's intentional. We are unapologetically Black, started out that way and remained that way. Also, we've never had a grant. We've never had corporate sponsoring. That is also how you can tell who we are. But now it's time to make certain that the world really knows and appreciates 2.5 million women, and men too, but primarily women of African descent coming here to Philadelphia. Well, right now, we're in a historic place. We're at the Paul Robeson House. Now, you heard us be here before because we've done broadcasts from here before, but it's important that you know that MWM has always been about our history. And while our focus has been about and for our women and girls, it has always been connected directly to our families and communities. We are not feminists. That is not our position as MWM, and we want to make that clear. There's a difference between being a feminist and an African womanist, if we have to get into that kind of dialogue or category from an academic standpoint. And so there's a reason why you don't find the Million Woman March in women's history studies. Although we've not only earned our place there, we are like none other. Because Million Woman March is not only Black history / African history, it is not only women's history, it is world history. And so we, again, have earned our place in any kind of when you talk about social justice. Again, what entity do you know of that brought 2 million people together from the grassroots? Now, I would be remiss if I didn't say that the Million Man March definitely was an inspiration without a shadow of a doubt. When we saw our brothers come together and we felt that energy from them, best believe it helped to really bring about a clearer view of some of the things that were already being put in motion, but how to do it. The Million Man March helped us to begin to design further what we were building already. And so the Million Woman March really was already in formation. It wasn't being called the Million Woman March at that time, but it was in formation. And those who know the history of the Million Woman March certainly can attest to that. The fact that it started on South Street here in Philadelphia, a very historic location. Black folks were known to be very prosperous, very political in that area years ago. In fact, this is the 100th year of the commemoration of W.E.B. Du Bois's The Philadelphia Negro. And it is the area of South Street that my cultural center was at that he did his research. It was also, my cultural center was called Stiltwalkers, and it was also 2 doors away from where Octavius Cato lived, around the corner from the first Cheney University, although it was called then the Colored School or something like that, but it was right around the corner. Again, down the street a little further was the first firehouse that black folks had in Philadelphia. So the Million Woman March came out of something that was extremely important, even in its embryonic stages. And it stayed there not only during the time of the Million Woman March, but even afterwards. I'm giving you some history about MWM because it's important. Because over the years, there's been many stories and many things said about Million Woman March, and a lot of it has been very inaccurate, incorrect. So we're going to set the tone and also make sure you know the truth. So with that said, there's going to be several publications that you're now going to have coming from MWM, because we now have different components to make certain that we can continue to do the work that we started out 22 years ago. In fact, one of the things I want to announce today, family, is it is our pleasure, our honor, to announce Million Woman March 2.2, actually, and in some cases, MWM 2 squared. You see, the Million Woman March was always designed in a metaphysical format. If you looked at it carefully, you would have seen it, because certain other people did. This is why they try to copy and duplicate it. Of course, there's always a thing to try to imitate, but we know they could never duplicate it. The Million Woman March is, in fact, etched in stone. Why do I say that? There are some things that you just can't get around. For example, the young sister that just won all of those gold medals in the Olympics. There's some things that you just can't get around. The first time that a great black man won in the Olympics in Germany when they said he could not. Now, even though records have been broken since, but it's always that first time that begins to set a certain standard. And so MWM is that. The Million Woman March set the whole game into a different play. And so with that said, we're now telling you that, again, metaphysically, for those who do not know, what was the theme for the Million Woman March in 1997. Most don't even know. They know that our brothers had the Day of Atonement, but our sisters had the three R's. That was our theme, the three R's. It was modeled after old school kinds of teachings. Remember when Grandma used to talk about the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic? You know, if you was in the South, you could really appreciate mm-hmm. that, because that's the way it was said. And then, of course, many people came from the South up to the North. So there were still certain slang or certain kind of phrases that we're all familiar with. And so we adopted the three R's, but it represented repentance, resurrection, and restoration. That was our three R's. And you see, we kind of matched it with our brothers with atonement or attunement, and that was repentance. But it wasn't to repent for what some might call sin or some stuff like that. Not at all. It was to repent for allowing what had happened to us to happen. It was to repent to make certain that people understood that some of this, certainly not much of it, but some of what had happened to us was also our error, be it intentionally or unintentionally. And we admit that, as some of our African countries have. And we're going to tell you a little bit about our connection now to Africa, because we're going to Benin in 2020. But not just Benin. This year marked the 400-year commemoration of the first Africans being recorded brought here. And all over the country, there were commemorations. Some even called it celebration. I'm not sure why they did that, but they did. Well, we know that there was nothing to celebrate about 400 years of being enslaved. And certainly to this present day, we're in a form of enslavement. We have been healed from it. And we certainly have an advanced to degree of reality. So we're still in a form of enslavement. But this year, 2019, marked that 400-year period. Well, for some of us, it certainly represented more than 400 years of enslavement. For some of us, it meant this is it. No more. It's over. And so our response to 400 years is we charge genocide. And that's why being in this house, this is the house where Paul Robeson lived. In 1951, Paul Robeson and William Patterson took to the United Nations a petition, and it was called We Charge Genocide. And now we are blessed to be able to pick up the mantle, the baton, and continue the work of Mother Cally House, Queen Mother Moore, William Patterson, Paul Robeson, many, many others, and certainly Malcolm X, who over 50 years ago told us very distinctively that we must take our issue to the United Nations, and so we shall. Now, we don't have any big, you know, ambitions about all of that, but we do know that it is a strategic move, and it will get us to the next step that need to be taken. And it will help to establish what the next generation needs to move things forward when we talk about reparatory justice, i.e. reparations, restitution, and I dare say, retribution. These are the things we must now fight for and obtain, and so we shall. So today, we give a big salute to those who participated 22 years ago and who continued to work, but particularly there are a few that I want to mention. These past 22 years have been extremely difficult to build the first global movement. Think about it, a movement. What people didn't also understand is that we were also building a nation. That's right, I said it right here today. MWM was always positioned and poised to build a nation, to support existing nations, but also to build new nations. And so we pledge our support to our nations that are already in existence, that are really striving for self-determination. We want to now connect with them, work with them, as we have now connected to Trinidad, Tobago, Benin, Ghana, Zimbabwe, and other countries. But now, even internally, meaning more on a domestic level here in the U.S., we're reaching out to those nations that are amongst us that strive for peace, justice, equality, and as I said, self-determination. So you're going to hear very soon that we're calling for a meeting of the United Nations of our people. For our people that have a nation. And we're going to give you in the future the other definition of what a nation is, because it's not just what you think in terms of, oh, the United States, or that's not the, just the definition of a nation. So we're going to help you to better understand what that is, as well as what our human rights are. But before I do that again, I want to really hail up those who have stood firm for these past 22 years, or in the interim of building this now incredible movement that we're bringing forward. On Sunday, we introduced our first warrior queens and community queens. Sister Pam Africa was one of them. In terms of warrior queens, Sister Janine, Jeanette Africa were two more. Sister Ramona Africa and Sister Debbie Africa are, in fact, some of our warrior queens. Well, we want to also introduce a warrior queen who is still in exile. Her name is Asada Shakur. So we strongly believe that Asada Shakur is, in fact, a representation of the warrior queen, the African warrior queen. But also, what we want everyone to know is that we're coming to your city. If there's a large population of Black folks in your city and your community, we're coming your way. Because now MWM is on the move, building that movement that we're talking about, coming there to build chapters, to build the programs, to make certain that we can establish all over the country what it is we talked about 22 years ago and have been working on to build every center. Now we're ready to bring it forward. Some of the sisters and brothers, by the way, that have helped us to build over the years, we want to salute them tonight on this day of the Million Woman March anniversary. We have now made it a point to uphold and hail up those who have come before us, as well as those who are still with us. And so two of our first lifelong members, that's right, we've just created the lifelong membership for the Million Woman March. Two of those honorary members is a sister who started in 1997 by putting up a major page, which is still up now, for particularly the Midwest region, so that all of the different units in the Midwest could connect. Chicago, Detroit, Wisconsin, they were all connected by this one page, by this one sister, who managed to make certain that our information and the capability to connect to one another was intact. And so one of our first lifelong members, and she's going to get a card that gives her that lifelong membership, and her name is, we call her Mama Condi. And you probably, if you listen to our radio program, you probably have heard her on our radio program, but she's a longtime freedom fighter and a longtime supporter, protector of the Million Woman March, and now it's Universal Movement. The other person, of course, as I mentioned earlier, is Sister Pam Africa. She, too, is now one of our lifelong members of the Million Woman March. And also Sister Hattie Bonds, who is recovering from an illness. She's doing much, much better, but we want to send her our love and support and make certain she knows that she is a lifelong member of the Million Woman March. We also want to mention those who are no longer with us, who fought diligently, side by side, And there were many, but we're going to name a few for tonight. And one of them is our sister Liz Lassiter, who, of course, was here in Philadelphia and made transition due to breast cancer. And so the Million Woman March is, of course, committed now to make certain that we do something in that area of breast cancer. And so next week, as a matter of fact, we will be having a weekend that is a Black Women's Breast Cancer Awareness Weekend. MWM is now put in the position to do many, many things, and so we shall. One of the other things we want to share with you is that we want to review those 10 platform issues from 1997. Well, now we have a body that really can make those platform issues manifest. A plan of action known as the Black Print 2020. And with the Black Print 2020 to 25, it will enable us to accomplish our goals. Now, before I go into some of that, I want you to know that we're putting people on notice, starting here in Philadelphia. Philadelphia, along with Baltimore, Detroit, Chicago, Washington, Cleveland, and other cities that we've been in over the years. The issue of gentrification is off the hook in such a way that we now see that it's connected to a much bigger reality and problem. Where you find a large number and amount of gentrification, you're going to also find a large amount of so-called crime, murders in particular, but other crimes as well. Here in Philadelphia, we just recently had 2 children shot. One did not survive. The other is in critical condition, fighting for his life. Chicago has been going through this for the past 3 years. Murders in Chicago on a day-to-day basis is like you can't even begin to imagine. But now we're getting a similar report to Philadelphia. All of the cities, and the same for Baltimore, all of these cities have something in common. They have a large number of vacant properties, a large number of communities that are blighted, a large number of schools that have been closed. And in some of these cities, we're also looking at contaminated water. So when we say we charge genocide, we're not just talking about the murders that we are enduring by the way of police. And by the way, of course, you are familiar that there is yet another Black woman who has recently been murdered by a cop through her window in her own home. But yet, this is a conversation that we're hearing online and in other places. But where are we hearing solutions or resolutions? MWM is proactive. And so with that said, we are telling you that we are now being placed in a position to address some of the issues. Here in Philadelphia, there are fantastic brothers, as there are all over the country, but not enough. There's not enough Black men standing up. And so those that are, we want to say to you, we love you, we respect you, we honor you, and we look forward to working with you. And we want to make certain that we create whatever apparatuses that we need to make sure that we do. On the other hand, the ones who are sitting back, talking stuff, doing nothing, or next to nothing, or fronting, or getting money by way of your grant 501c3 setup, and the best that's going on is a conference, a meeting, a rally, but nothing really that makes any sense. With these young brothers out here now, that's all you think you're going to do? And have some real results? Well, I can tell you that's not going to happen. There has to be some other things put in place. And so what we've done on our end as Black women, we've created a component called Mothers, Daughters, Sisters of the Movement. For those Black women all over the country who recognize the need to be more involved in our communities, to help our children, to help our brothers, then we have a unit for you under and with A Million Black Women Rising. Sister Tawanda Jones is one of our national representatives. She, of course, is in Baltimore. She, of course, had her brother murdered by cops, and she has been very diligent, very adamant about making certain that she keeps his name out there, making certain that cops that shoot our people, they must be prosecuted. And we're not talking about for 10 years that ends up equaling three or what have you. We're saying literally they must be prosecuted and get the time, the same kind of time that our people would be getting if they're convicted of murder. And maybe even more so because they violated the trust of the community and of the people. And so we have to be organized to make sure that those kinds of things happen. And so again, mothers, daughters, sisters of the movement, we want you to join us nationwide so that we can begin to organize in a way that is going to bring about results. We know that some of our young males have a certain type of rage, and guess what? In some instances, they should. You see, so we're not trying to water this thing down. We're not trying to act like, oh, honey, no. We need to understand what is really going on and why, and deal with it based on that. Not a whole lot of fluff and poo-putt stuff. And so Black women, we are saying that over the years we have been criticized with being a part of the problem, that we have either babied our particularly our young Black males too much, or not, you know, been able to give them a certain kind of representation. Well, I'm here today to say if that is true, which personally I don't believe it is. I mean, you know, here and there, but generally, no. But, okay, I'm here to say we're going to change that. Sisters, we have now programs for our women, for the development of Black women, of African women. Rites of passages for our young girls and for our women too. Because the question has to be today, what does it mean to be a Black woman? What is the characteristics? What is the essence? What should that entail? Just because you look Black? Just because you might, you know, act a little Black or Black? No, there needs to be some other things that entails. And one of those things has to now be, what are you doing in your community to help your community? Today's Black woman has to represent other than you look good. Wow. It has to represent more than just you have the latest outfit or what have you. And don't get me wrong, there are thousands of Black women all over the country that are doing wonderful work in their community. But given the fact that nothing has really changed, nothing has really decreased, rape, murder, molestation, particularly of our young girls, it's just the numbers, it's almost, it'll just blow your mind. And now we're dealing with pedophilia in our community. I mean, straight up, child pornography in our communities. So obviously, whatever we've been doing is not working to any degree of reality. And MWM is here to change that scenario. And so, starting today, we're on a crusade nationwide, coming your way. Cali, we're coming to you with MWM2. We heard you. It's been said that, you know, things don't happen on the West Coast. Well, we're coming. We're bringing MWM2 to the West Coast. Now, it's up to you, sisters, where we come. Whoever shows us the most love, whoever shows us the most, yeah, we want you, then that's where we're going to come. So we know that's Oakland, LA, Bay Area, it's up to you. We're working on now building this movement, this federation, and that means members are going to be important. So starting today, membership is open, and we want 1 million members. If we can bring 2 million together physically 22 years ago, certainly in this day and age, it should not be difficult to have 1 million members. Because remember, our position is self-determination. We're not asking anybody to do anything for us but us. Bottom line. Now, we do want to do business. And so black businesses, we're open for business. MWM is now open for business, but not business as usual. And so we're bringing you something called In the Black 360-365. In the Black, and we will help promote your business in any city. We have a mechanism in place to do that. But we also want to bring some new concepts and ideas. They're not really that new, but it ain't happening in our community. For example, there will now be a Black Women's Investment Club so that we can invest in goods, commodities, and services that are throughout the diaspora, but also, of course, within our communities, and also provide microloans to our people, do business with our people in such a way that we are organized to be able to provide discounts based on your membership. In the Black, we'll promote market you because we have something called the M4, media, marketing, manufacturing, and merchandising unit. This will enable us to make certain that your business is put out in the community by us, for us, and do it in every way possible, online, of course, but also right in the community, at the market, at the church, at the rec center. We will have your information. We've been working on these things for quite a few years now, and they're ready to go. So we're going to be telling you more about that in the near future as well. Tomorrow night is our regular broadcast. We've been on 11 straight years with New Day, Resurrection, and Liberation. For those who were a part of the Million Women March in 97 and over the years, we invite you to call in. Join us. Share your stories, because now is the time that we're prepared to start writing our books. We have people who are self-published, and we'll help you to be self-published for those who are interested, but we're ready to start publishing our own books now for educational purposes as well as for informational purposes. And so starting next week, you're going to find several blogs online that'll be interactive. One, of course, will deal with the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls. This is October for some National Domestic Violence Month. Well, on October 31st here in Philadelphia, and we hope that you all pick it up in other places, we call it No More Tricks. Dealing with the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls on October 31st, we say hashtag just us. Not me too. It's not just about sexual harassment. When you have been violated for 400 years and it's been legal, mostly, routine, and for some, a rite of passage to rape a black woman, to have a black woman. This was part of this culture. So while white women sat back and watched or allowed it or said nothing, we, meaning those of us that are highly melanated, those of us that we call black, those of us that are known as African, we were routinely abused, forced for hundreds of years. And so while some today talk about, you know, sexual harassment and, you know, I had to do this to get a job and all of that, we think that that's really interesting. But again, it's just us. That it was part of your social culture. to abuse us sexually. And so on October the 31st, we began to bring forward the national campaign for the elimination of violence and abuse of women and girls of African descent. It's a three-year project that will begin to focus on in every major city. We're meeting with the police commissioners in every major city to start getting the statistics of rape, murder, kidnapping, and other things that are reported in their cities, because we want to look very closely and show that there is not only an increase all over the country to talk about the missing women and girls all over the country, particularly young girls, black girls. Where's the task force for that? We're talking about thousands. And now we're getting reports that organs are part of this. Where are our women? What are we doing? And so we can no longer sit back and just think that watching the Atlanta Housewives or whatever is, you know, as us being a black woman. Or, you know, our hair or our nails and all of that. I mean, wonderful things, but our people are dying and suffering. And again, the lines have to be drawn in the sand. Which side are you on now, black woman? This question has to be raised. The bar has to be raised, and it is. And so again, you now have in your midst the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. And before I go on any further, I want to go to our lines to see if there is any comments or questions that any of you may have. We are broadcasting live as well on our Blog Talk Radio. We are now live streaming with Instagram and Facebook. And so if you are online with New Day, if you press 1 and you have a comment or something you have, certainly we will engage with you for a few minutes. I want to also send a big shout out to our New York team, Sister Munira Bomani. Of course, Mama Condi is in Cincinnati. Sister Angela, she's in Ohio, Cleveland. All of our sisters that are nationwide and now worldwide, we are coming your way. We say it's the ABCs to begin with. And the ABCs for the year 2020 means we're coming to Atlanta, Baltimore, Chicago, and Cleveland. Also Detroit. So it's actually A, B, C's, and D. These are some of the bases that we're setting up, some of the locations. Also for 2020, we will be doing something called From Newark to Detroit to Flint. In dealing with the issue of environmental racism as it pertains to genocide, in Newark now we have toxic water. It's in Philadelphia, too, by the way, but they're just not telling you yet. But right now in Newark, it's like right in your face. So from Newark, we're going to go to Detroit. In Detroit, over 100,000 people have had their water turned off. There's something very, very inhumane about that when you cannot provide people with a way to pay their water bill. And then in some instances, some were 10 cents off, and then they got their water cut off because they were 10 cents short. Something else is going on here. Needless to say, the privatization of water is now in effect. So these are things that are coming your way. If not already, they're coming your way. So May 1st is known as May Day all over the country. And so we are calling it May Day, May Day. May Day because it's a workers' day. It's a day that workers tend to celebrate and come together. Well, that's what we want to happen on May Day for 2020. But we say May Day, May Day because of those of you who understand a little bit of military science and other kind of distress signals, you know that Mayday is a distress signal. It means that help is needed extremely. And so help is needed in Newark, in Detroit, and definitely Flint. Again, the project is from Newark to Detroit to Flint. We will end up in Flint with a major rally because for 5 years, the people in Flint have been suffering. And for at least 3 years, they have had no running water. Have to use bottled water for everything, bathing, cooking, washing, everything. How can the people live off a bottle of water for 3 years? Why should the people have to live? So, again, we chart genocide. It's just that simple. And we want the world to be able to see that. Now, I digress. Let me just digress for one moment because, again, in talking about the world, I mentioned earlier that this is the 400-year commemoration of the first Africans being brought, recorded to this country. Ghana has declared this the year of return. So many people this year are going to Ghana as a part of Ghana extending themselves to, opening their arms to Africans in this country. Well, we're saying to the African Union and to our countries throughout the diaspora that we are requesting a decade of return. Not a year, a decade, starting in 2020. A decade of return because 1 year, it just couldn't possibly begin to do what we need to have done in connecting with our countries. And so next year again, MWM will be going to Benin as one of our first countries for the decade of return. We will also be looking at Senegal. We will also be looking at Mali, the great empire of Mali, and Gambia, and others. So again, a decade to be able to go into Africa, really examine, really build, really connect, really restore, heal, etc. So you'll be hearing more about our United Nations programs and projects. Next year is the 25th year commemoration of a powerful conference that took place in Beijing, China in 1995. And so many women will be at the United Nations in March to commemorate that 25-year coming together. MWM will also be there. And as such, we will be presenting to those women, but particularly to the women of the African Union, that we are honored to be able to be one of the official year or actually decade for African women, the closing ceremonies. We plan to do that in Philadelphia in 2020 as a part of the decade for African women. And so MWM is definitely on the move. And with that, we've created what we call the Commission on the Status of African Women. The United Nations has a commission on the status of women. And so we feel that it is only apropos and a good timing to have a commission on the status of African women for North America. And then we will expand it as we grow. So family, this is some of what we are bringing to you today in that the Million Women March is indeed now the first global movement for women and girls of African descent. We invite you to become a member. Tomorrow, we will give you information about our new website, how you can become involved with the Million Black Women Rising. Again, if we're going to go back to our board here, if there's anyone who is interested in sharing anything for tonight about Million Women March, we certainly welcome you to do so. Family that's online, welcome or being online for New Day. You can press 1 now if you have a question or a comment for us because we do have the boards up now. And if you have a comment on your Instagram or on Facebook, we certainly welcome that as well. There is a unit for our brothers. They're known as Brothers in Support. There will also be another unit that will be coming up very soon for Black men who want to be a part of this movement, because we do not separate ourselves from our brothers. So let's make that very, very clear. That's not what this movement is about. And so there are Black men who are directly involved. Of course, big shout out to Big Mike, Brother Mike, New York. We have two of our brothers here tonight, Brother Wali, Brother Hakeem. There's other brothers in other cities. Again, we thank you all for being a part of building what we have been building for 22 years. We have new products that will be coming out very soon, family. So we have created ways to make certain that we have a revenue coming in. We're also working on one of our first LLCs, and it should be ready for next year. It will be a security and investigation agency that will be in our community, able to provide employment and training for our people, but also it will serve as an internal piece, internal structure for some of our operations. And so, again, we'll be giving you more information about that as we create some of our new newsletters and also our blogs that are coming up. Okay, we have one caller, and we are going to bring in our caller to get their comment. And so, caller, you are at 8521. And 8521, welcome to this 22nd day. And greetings to you.
Revolutionary love to everybody. I just want to say, long live the spirit of the Million Women's March. Long live the spirit of the Million Women's March. I just want to commend you first for being the visionary, the architect, and the founder of this wonderful, wonderful universal, now universal movement. It was the year that I returned home out of incarceration, and I was there in 1997. I returned home out of the devil's den, the second coming of slavery, which is prison. And October, I was there, and I witnessed the million plus, it was 2 million plus women that descended on Benjamin Franklin Parkway. It was such a wonderful, wonderful, it was the best day I had since returning home. And from that point on, first I want to commend all the alumni, all the elder women who you announced earlier. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't thank them enough for continuing to continue the legacy, to pass it on. Or each and every one of those individuals are inspiration, not only to me hearing, you know, but I'm quite sure they're inspiration to women all over the world. So I salute them. You definitely picked great women who are doing great work to continue and to uphold the legacy of the Million Women's March, and they definitely is passing it on. So they all serve as an inspiration, not only to you and to the universal movement, but also to myself and women. I'm quite sure that come in contact with them over the phone, over the airways, or whatever. I also want to you know, say that, you know, we're going to continue. You know, this, you said, you spoke about, you know, where you all started, you know, and where, you know, what it takes to build a movement. You know, it takes work. It takes dedication. It takes commitment. And it also takes individuals who are in the spirit of, you know, continuing and uplifting our sisters. We got to definitely have a heart for that. You know, we got to be sincere about that. We got, and who can we ask to do for us what we need to do for ourselves? Okay, so it's us. You know, if
That's
we
right.
don't uphold our legacy, who will? Okay, if we don't support our businesses, our movement, who we expect to do it? Who will? Who should? So So it is our duty, it is our responsibility, and yes, we're going to continue on to fight this thing. We're going to continue on to fight and struggle for our black nation. But most importantly, we got to do what we got to do for our sisters. Like you spoke about earlier, you know, our sisters are being kidnapped, abducted, raped. I mean, who will stand up for our black woman? If we don't do it for our black women and girls, if we don't do it, who do we expect to do it? So that is exactly why, you know, it's happening. It's because there's no outcry from the very people who are responsible for standing up and doing something about it. So I just want to say long live the spirit, and I look forward to every year. I look forward to having another year of not only being home, because it's 22 years I also been home out of incarceration, but I also look forward to continuing the legacy each and every year of the Million Women's Movement, now Universal Movement. So I just want to say peace and love to all our sisters. You know, we got work to do. We must continue to do this work. And it's a struggle, but guess what? No struggle, no progress. You know, and we ain't got nothing to lose but our chains. We going through a whole lot of stuff. You know, we got the water situation. I just came from a conference about the what's in our water. And, I mean, we got to fight people that look just like us, tooth and nail, because they have become politicians. And it's just sad that we are being – Newark is going through a crisis now. We can't even drink and cook and bathe in our water either. So this is a serious problem. And guess what? I can't wait, you know, to join forces with the other communities. We got to stand together as one on this issue. Women, we got to stand together as one to address any and everything that affects us women, black women particularly, mainly black women in our black nation. So I will continue not only to uphold the legacy, but also to do the work. Peace and love to everybody.
All right. Thank you, my sister. Yeah. All right, family. So, you know, this is what we're talking about and doing. And, you know, as the sister just said, you know, it's really now or never as far as we're concerned. Things have gotten so bad that we have to move things forward. Just want to give you two other units that we're bringing forward for Million Women March Universal Movement. One is the Million Women Party. For those sisters who are interested and brothers that are interested in running for political office, in your community, we want to know about you. We want to be able to support any of our people that are serious about being involved in the political arena, but not in a way that is just going to continue to perpetuate white supremacy. We know that there's not a whole lot folks are going to be able to do it for real, but that's not the point. We appreciate Sam Greenlee's book, The Scoops to Set by the Door. And so we understand very clearly that we need people in whatever areas we need them in for information purposes, to watch things, etc. So we're very clear that this political process is not one that is going to really bring us, you know, a whole bunch in reality, but it's a game that has to be played, and we want people that we feel we can work with to get that done. So again, if there's anyone in your community, because we're going to be coming nationwide now, that's what a movement is really about, for real. And with that said, you know, again, our message to brothers and sisters that have groups, organizations in Philly, if you are 501 and you are nonviolent under that nonviolent thing, or you are anti-drug or anti-whatever, well, we want to know, what is your program that deals with the issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls? Because that is a specialized area. It's not to say that all violence and all abuse should not be addressed, but we have to say, apparently, this warrants some other things. Now, with that said, what everyone to know, wanted to be put on record, I have contacted the mayor's office of Philadelphia on at least two occasions so far to set up a meeting with the mayor to talk about this issue of violence and abuse of our women and girls in these communities in Philadelphia. We're still waiting for this meeting, okay? So let it be real clear that if we don't get a meeting very soon, we're going to go and sit in front of his office and let people see that we will sit there for however long until he's ready to have a meeting with us. Now, these are the kinds of direct action that must begin to take place. We're not going to allow people any longer to discard or disrespect us. We have a right to meet with whomever when it comes to issues that they're supposed to be having some jurisdiction or officiation over. And given the fact that the rate of murder, the rate of rape, and other things in this city has, in fact, increased, we're demanding a meeting. And since the city does have a commission on African-American males, we dare say there must be a commission on African-American females. Okay? I mean, really? So these are some of the things that we're doing here in Philly. We're taking these various positions all over the country. We don't want to keep getting reports of missing girls and there not be a plan of action. MWM is working so that we can have our own hotline. Again, it's going to be important, sister, that you become a member. There are three types of membership that we presently have for you. One is as simple as a dollar or two. Okay, we're going to make it very, very easy. And again, you can do that right now by using your Cash App. Cash App us at $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. And send us a donation, a dollar or two. Sister Tawanda came up with $2 Tuesday. And that's something that she's promoting, $2 Tuesday, that she put, we send us $2 on Tuesday. Again, our programs and other special projects do require finances. We have to put flyers out for the We Charge Genocide, other kinds of things. So, you know, the services that we're bringing to our community. And many of these services are free because, again, we strongly believe that we don't want to be charging our people for certain things. For what? That's not what we're about. Never have been, never will be. And again, you know, you have groups and organizations that are getting funded, but what has really changed? So we want to begin to do something a little different, and we know that it will make a difference. Again, three memberships. One is support membership. As we said, a dollar or two would be your way of supporting. It's also general membership, and that is in two forms, either, again, in support membership, that's a $10 membership on that, or you can also be an active member, or what we call the member of the Federation. Now, that's a little different. Members of the Federation have some different components. They have some other advantages. I want to thank Sister Angela as joining on as one of our first pledge members, or what we call Federation membership. And what that means is a sister is pledging $10 each month or $100 for the year. Okay, that's our Federation sisters who are helping to build this movement. And again, that is $10 a month that you're pledging. You want to make sure that you help build, help us to do the work that we need to do with $10 a month. And again, that is your pledge in building the sisterhood and this first global movement for women and girls of African descent. So those are just some of the ways that you can begin to help. We're going to give you more information when we put this website up. Again, you'll get information on that later on tonight and tomorrow. For our regular radio broadcast, we'll have a lot of information ready for you tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow's guest, for lack of a better word, you know, we don't like to call our family guests, but I'll use their word for the moment. Joining us tomorrow is going to be Sister Rita Daniels, who is the great, 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 great grandniece of Mother Harriet Tubman. She came For our 20-year anniversary in 2017, we've stayed connected with her over the years, and will now be partnering with her in building the Harriet Tubman Educational Center in Atlanta. But this is what you need to know, family. You need to know that the movie that's coming out, some have already heard of it, some may have already seen it, but there's a film coming out called Harriet. Would you believe that the family, and I'm talking about blood research family of Mother Harriet Tubman, do you believe that the great grand aunt and sister and whatever, would you believe they had nothing to do with this film? They were not contacted. Well, let's put it this way. They were not consulted. They were not, they had no input. How do you have a family of someone of that nature, of that type, and you not talk to the people who have the history, the direct lineage of that people? But this just gives you a general idea of what these people will do. This is why over the years we've had these attempted hijacks and sabotages for Million Woman March. Because when people saw that, oh, well, they must not really care, they did all of that, and look, they don't want to support it or don't want to come together with it. So they felt, well, you know, let's just try to take it over, or let's just try to create some illusion about it. So my point is, when you do not embrace your history, somebody else will. So Sister Rita will be on our program tomorrow at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and she will tell you herself of what has happened, how the industry has once again raped us by using our stories to profit. So we've come up with some other solutions, Sister Rita and I, and we're going to convey that tomorrow and just give it to you briefly. MWM, I talked about M4. I didn't talk about our music and entertainment component or edutainment component. So the Million Woman movement is now in business in some other ways. We talk about the music that we're listening to today, and most of us don't really like it, a lot of it, but we don't come up with a plan to do something about it. And so with that said, as we begin to hit the road, we're going to also do some talent searches, so that we can begin to have our own musical artists do some things. Now, lastly, and then we're going to get ready to wrap up, family, because we got a lot of work to do. We just wanted to give you all a briefing on what's getting ready to come. Again, the announcement, the major announcement is Million Woman March 2 is coming to California. Kelly, we're coming. Again, we haven't selected the city yet. We're going to leave it up to you. L.A., Oakland, San Francisco, where are we coming? We're coming to the West Coast, because we heard sisters. They said, oh, y'all always doing something on the East Coast and making us come that way. Well, we heard you. Now we're coming to you. So we'll keep you abreast as things begin to develop for that, because it is developing. We already got some things in line. In fact, tune in again tomorrow. You're going to hear one of our first partners, Mr. John Templeton, will be joining us tomorrow as well. And he is, of course, is the co-founder of National Black Business Month. We're going to do business with him, and you'll hear about one of the products that he has available and the film that he's working on called Queen California. Did y'all know that California was named after a black woman? Yep. But this is the other thing that you don't know. With MWM, we want to look at, again, investing in our own music, art, entertainment. So when we talk about building a federation, we're talking about also sustaining our own history, culture, and capability to move forward. So these are some of the things you're going to hear us talk about. We got one more caller. I think this is Mama Condi. We're going to bring her in briefly, and then we're going to get ready to close out. And family, again, we want to remind everyone, tune in tomorrow night, 10:30, New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/EmpressChi. If you want to be actively involved in A Million Black Women Rising, please send us your information to ambwr2020@gmail.com. That's for A Million Black Women Rising 2020@gmail.com. But just use the first letter and you will reach us. And our other main email address is nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. This Sunday, we will be back at One Art for our second Vegan, Vegetarian, and Natural Foods Fest. Again, family, we're getting ready to put out some of our own products, and you'll be able to sample some if you come out Sunday, starting at 3 o'clock. We'll be at 1431 to 39 North 52nd Street here in Philadelphia. It's called the One Art Center, and the suggested donation is $15. However, we will not be turning anyone away, so free love donations will be accepted. Okay, and you will be able to try approximately 10 dishes that are vegan, vegetarian, and natural, all right? So we're going to go to one more caller, then we're going to close out. I think this might be Mama Condi, and so let's see if this is she. Hey, Mama, is this you?
Kuza Liwa Nafaraha MWM. Kuza Liwa Nafaraha MWM. Kuza Liwa Nafaraha MWM. Kuza Liwa Nafaraha MWM. Faraha, 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 Kuza Liwa. Faraha, 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 Kuza Liwa. Happy anniversary.
Yeah. All right, Mama. So I guess you heard you are one of our first lifelong members.
Yeah, I was sitting here with tears in my eyes. What can I say? It's humbling. And I thank you. I was taught by some of the elders to just do the work.
That's
so
right.
When somebody actually recognizes all the work being done, that just kind of floors me. So I'm in recovery, and I'll be okay eventually. Thank you.
All right.
It's humbling. Thank you.
Well, you know, we about it, and now is the time to bring all these things forward. And we thank you, Mama. So get ready, cause the boots is on. We strapped in and ready to go.
Yeah, I look forward.
All right, we're gonna get ready to close out. I just want to remind everyone when I said boots, something came to mind. Two things is happening for November the 28th, I believe it is. We'll be doing our first Njiajami Observance Day. It is the alternative to Misgivings Day, what some people call Thanksgiving. We will be doing something on that day that pays tribute to our Creator, with whatever name you call him or her or what have you. We will be doing something on November 28th. We will give you the location very soon. It is an alternative to so-called Thanksgiving. We call it Misgivings Day. And it was, in fact, introduced by Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Again, it is a day of unity, a day of coming together, and it's also a way to say, we're not buying into this stuff anymore with these people like that. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Why? And we know that some people feel like, well, it's a day to come together for the family. Okay, well, then let's come together, but not because they said so. All right, so we're going to have our own day to do so, and Dr. Khalid is the one who introduced that as such. Lastly, with Dr. Khalid, we want to remind everyone that January the 11th and 12th, there will be also a salute to Dr. Khalid Muhammad in the context of a Warriors Weekend here in Philadelphia. If you are a martial artist or a person that is considered to be a self-defense or a safety practitioner, then we certainly need you to sign up, because that weekend is going to consist of that. We have three schools that are already on board, and they will be presenting, but it will also be a weekend for the whole family, because it will be geared to emergency response and preparedness, safety, and crisis intervention. Those are some of the sessions that will be taking place for that week. So there will be CPR, there will be first aid, basic first aid information, and also survival stuff. So this is something that we're starting for 2020 that will happen every month, that information will be provided in the community that will assist us to know what to do in case of an emergency. How well are our communities ready? Your home, what is your emergency fire route? What would you do if, in fact, your lights went out and you needed to, you know, wait until something else happened or whatever? We need to be prepared a little more for these things. And not to mention if there's a so-called natural disaster, what would we do? Are we prepared? The answer is no. And for the most part, we would end up relying on someone else to save us. That must stop. So at any rate, family, we're going to close this session out. We thank you all again. Thanks, Sister Manira. Thank Mama Condi. And, of course, Sister Gabrielle is here in the house as always, holding it down, making certain that we're able to communicate with you. Brother Wally is doing the Facebook piece over here as well. Brother Akeem is just in here, always of support. And then my baby daughter's here, too, always soaking it in, getting ready for that next generation. Family, this has been, again, a wonderful day to remember. We're here in the Paul Rosen House. And, you know, it amazes me sometimes when I'm, you know, traveling, particularly in Philadelphia, and I, you know, mention to people, have you ever, you know, have you heard of Paul Rosen? And they were like, who? And so, again, one of the units that you will hear us bring forward and talk more about is the African Historical Preservation Society, so that in every city there is a unit there that does, in fact, capture and make certain that we keep the history of our people. And before we close out, we just got another walking legend that just walked through the door in terms of history. And again, that's one of the things that we're talking about, making certain that we can maintain our history by doing interviews and other kinds of films. You're the local history in your community. We're coming to your city, and it is twofold. One, we want to make sure that black women, we have to document the history of our women in our communities nationwide. We're not doing a good job of that. So it's twofold. It's making certain that our women are historically placed, but our people also. Here in Philadelphia, we have giants, people who have done such incredible work. But that generation that now exists today don't have a clue as to who they are, because we're not preserving our own history. So we want to now change that. Lastly, the Paul Robeson House, along with a few other institutions here in Philadelphia, you're going to be getting more information from us, because we want to partner with a few black institutions in Philly and the other cities that we're coming to. We're selecting specific black institutions that we want to partner with. Here at the Paul Robeson House, there is a very small mortgage still on the property. And so very soon, we want to be able to present you with information that by Black History Month, because that's what we're talking about, history, by Black History Month, certain things should be done. We should not have to be scurrying and worrying about our institutions and our community. And black folks need to take on that responsibility, and it's easy to do if we just all do something. So there's three black institutions here in Philadelphia that we look at partnering with. And one way or another, we're going to tell you more about that as we proceed. One final thing is this. March, we'll be doing our Women's History Month here in Philly, we'll be bringing forward our new or some of the other community queens and warrior queens. We'll be doing that in March. Also in March, we will be doing the National Black Women's Political Convention in Vegas. We're going to Vegas. Again, there's a presidential election coming next year. Well, how are black women really positioned to address that? What is our agenda? Are we just sitting back waiting for the Democratic Party to tell us what we should do and how we should do it, or the Republican Party, or whoever? What is our agenda as black women? Well, we want to figure that out and bring it forward come March, the first week in March. We will be in Vegas. It's the first week or second week. I don't remember which one, but definitely we are in Vegas in March with our first national black women's political convention. Again, the Million Women Party, we are not locked into anybody's party, okay? And as they say it in this, there's no kind of party like the Million Woman Party. All right, family, we're going to close out now. We thank you all. Again, if you want to send that donation, we appreciate it. You can use right now your Cash App, and that's $HOT1111. Again, $HOT1111. If you're ready to support the Black Human Rights Project, you can do that by going to GoFundMe. We're there. Go to GoFundMe, look for the Black Human Rights Project. We are there for the GoFundMe. And also, if you want to do PayPal, we also accept that, and that is NBHRProject@gmail.com. Again, you can use your PayPal and send it to NBHRProject@gmail.com. All right, family, we thank you all again. Again, this is the 22-year anniversary of the largest gathering in the world, and now a million black women rise. Until next time, we say, Pomoja to the Shinda, together we shall win.
Very, very good. Very, very good. There's always more information. I didn't know that.
All right, here we go. All right, family, we thank you all. Yes, yes, yes. Moving right along.